lives. It just popped in my head, so I have to say it. We don't need the others. That's not true. We do, but I... after Leela and Bryce and their messages that they shared, it almost seems like we could go home and be good with that. However, the boss is watching, and so I need to preach. This morning we are wrapping up our series on the Chronicles of Narnia, specifically The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And since it's only 2 days after Christmas, I figure no one wants to work very hard, right? And that's including me. So if you get nothing else out of this morning's message, please get this. Jesus is the Lion. He has the power to restore our hearts. Let us ask Jesus, especially as we go into the new year, let us ask Jesus to breathe on the parts of our hearts that remain stone. And make us whole again. Let us ask Jesus to breathe on the parts of our hearts that remain stone and make us whole again. So, come along with me as we take one more trip through the wardrobe into the land of Narnia. Love, betrayal, sacrifice, fear, hope, pain, suffering, longing, joy, friendship, enemies, beauty, ugliness, survival, death, life. When I hear words such as these, it makes me immediately think of like an epic tale where there is someone who needs to be saved, and there's a hero to do the saving, and there's a vast world of picturesque landscapes. Evil is thriving, but ultimately good will overcome. All of that's found in the Bible. The Bible starts out with everything being good. Evil enters the world, and we see the effects of sin for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Finally, a hero comes, and his name is Jesus. He breaks the chains of sin. He conquers death. And by his life and through his life, we can have life full of hope and joy. And the story is not over. Unfortunately, we know the ending. We know that evil will ultimately be destroyed and our hero, Jesus, will reign supreme. That's the Cliff Note version of the Bible. All of that same stuff is found in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the first book written in the series. However, it is not the first book chronologically. The Magician's Nephew comes first in that regard. In that book, Aslan the Lion, who exists before time, roars and sings the land of Narnia along with all its creatures into existence. A creation story. It is also in this book that we learn how the Queen of Narnia, otherwise known as the White Witch, entered Narnia in the first place. She was not created there, she entered. By now you know Lucy, the youngest of the four siblings, is the first to discover Narnia through the wardrobe. When she arrives, she is met at the lamppost by a fawn named Tumnus. They become friends right away, and Tumnus invites Lucy back to his home for tea and wonderful food. After eating, he brings out his flute and begins to play. Music starts to put Lucy in kind of a trance-like place. Fortunately, she jumps up right out of her chair, thus breaking the spell. The music stops, and Tumnus begins to cry and cry and cry, wringing out Lucy's handkerchief and crying some more. When he can finally speak again, he confesses to Lucy that he has been forced to work for the White Witch. She has demanded that all human kids be taken to her castle. And that is what he was trying to do by playing the flute. I find it really interesting that the deception going on here is not threatening evil deception. On the front end, it all seems safe and harmless, even lovely. We think about it, is it not true for all of us? As one preacher wrote, temptation and sin will look rather harmless until we start believing the deception, and then we see it for what it truly is. Apostle Paul, he warns us about it in 2 Corinthians 11:14. He says, and no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. And this is not the only deception that happens in the story. Pastor Bill last week talked about Edmund encountering the White Witch after he followed Lucy through the wardrobe. Lucy had gone to find Tumnus, so when Edmund entered, he was alone until the White Witch arrived. Through deception, she convinces Edmund that she is good and uses temptation, the temptation that she will give him power over his siblings and that one day he will be king of Narnia in order to gain his allegiance. Oh, and let's not forget the special Turkish delight candy she gives him. Once he tastes it, he will always, always, always want more of it. Two storylines with two very different endings, each of them showing that deception does not always look evil, at least not to begin with. So the next time Lucy returns to Narnia, all her siblings come along. They all end up at Mr. and Mrs. Beaver's house, where they first hear about Aslan. They learn that the lion has returned to Narnia and is on the move. He is assembling an army to deal with the White Witch and all those who support her. The four of them are to join him at the sacrificial stone table. They hear of the prophecy about two sons of Adam and two daughters of Eve who will vanquish the White Witch and restore peace to Narnia. In fact, they are to make their way immediately to the stone table to meet Aslan and his army. They've also learned Tumnus was arrested by the White Witch's police because he disobeyed her order to turn all human kids over to her. Furthermore, it was such an egregious act to her that she turned him into stone, and he is now a statue in her castle along with many others who have suffered the same fate. The children desperately want to go save him. However, Mr. Beaver informs them that only Aslan can save them now. Suddenly, Lucy looks around and discovers Edmund is gone. He snuck out, and he is now on his way to the White Witch's castle to betray them all. And, of course, to eat as much Turkish delight as he possibly can. However, when he arrives, instead of candy, she throws him in jail. Soon he tells her everything he knows about Aslan and his plans. The White Witch then takes Edmund out of jail and puts him in her sledge, and they, along with her driver, head for the stone table. After some adventures along the way, including a visit from Santa Claus, Peter, Susan, and Lucy, and Mr. and Mrs. Beaver arrive at the stone table and at last meet Aslan. It is both a wonderful and a terrifying experience. It is not long, however, before the terrifying part of the experience turns into something more like awe and wonder. Right away, Lucy shouts and asks Aslan, "Can anything be done for Edmund?" Aslan responds, "All shall be done, but it may be harder than you think." The children are now part of something bigger than just their family. They have surrendered themselves to Aslan. Aslan, the supreme being of the universe. And they have become part of his family. Peter learns he will lead Aslan's army in battle using the sword and shield Santa gave him. Susan will use the horn Santa gave her to summon immediate help in battle. Lucy will be the healer, using a vial of healing potion, again a gift from Santa. Why is it so important that we surrender to the supreme being of the universe? I think it's because him being the creator of us, he hardwired all of us from the very beginning to seek him out. God hardwired us to seek him out. Without him, we are always, always, always going to be less than we could be. And just as the children are called into Aslan's family to use their gifts as he directs, as children of the living God, we are called to be part of Christ's church, to use our gifts as the Spirit directs. 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 11. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To each is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Father God, as we take this last walk through Narnia, continue to feed us with your truth. And Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. Amen. I always find it amazing when the Spirit allows us to see when we are right where the Spirit wants us to be, doing exactly what the Spirit wants us to do. Guys, I'm not sure that life gets any better than being in that place. And it's how we know for sure that we are hardwired to surrender to the Creator of all. So in Narnia, things move very quickly from here on out. First, Susan blows her horn. Peter finally realizes the horn is his cue for running to her rescue. He finds the Captain Wolf of the witch's police trying to destroy her. He kills the captain in a hard-fought fight and saves his sister. The wolf, who was with the captain at the time, escapes back to the White Witch and speaks to her about the death of his captain and his narrow escape. She then sends him to gather all those who support her to join her at the stone table. At the same time, Aslan sends a small team to go rescue Edmund, and they do. Here's where things get really interesting. Shortly after rescuing Edmund, the White Witch sends her emissary, who is also her driver, to request a meeting with Aslan. Aslan grants the request as long as the witch will lay her wand at the base of an oak tree that is quite some ways away, for it is the wand that allows her to turn folks to stone. So all is agreed, and the White Witch comes before the king, demanding payment for Edmund's betrayal. You see, in Narnia, the act of betrayal requires payment in blood. The White Witch is entitled to demand Edmund be given back to her because of his betrayal of Aslan and his plans and his siblings. His blood must be spilled. So Aslan and the White Witch take a walk and have a meeting together privately. And afterwards, it is announced that she has renounced her claim on Edmund's life. Something happened in that meeting that changed her mind. It will take a few days to discover what it is. It is now late at night. Everyone is asleep, except for Susan, Lucy, and Aslan. Susan and Lucy go looking for Aslan as he goes off for a walk. They follow him and walk with him a little until he tells them to hide and to definitely not be seen. He continues to the White Witch, who's standing by the stone table. What happens next horrifies the girls. It horrifies all of us that have read the books or seen the movie. So I will not go into details. I will just say that Aslan gives himself up to the White Witch in Edmund's place. He pays Edmund's price for him Sound familiar? It should. Aslan gives his life for Edmund. Jesus gave his life for us. So the White Witch, knowing now that Aslan is dead, she has won the battle. So she orders all her minions to follow her to wipe out his army and end this forever. Meanwhile, Susan and Lucy come out of their hiding place and refuse to leave Aslan's body. They stay with him all night. Finally, in the morning, they decide to head back to the others. And just as they start heading back, there is a huge, loud, cracking sound. Startled, they turn and discover the stone table has broken in half, and Aslan's body's gone. They are confused and bewildered. They begin to despair until Aslan surprises them from behind. They whirl around and he's alive. Aslan is alive. What does it all mean? Susan asks when they were somewhat calmer. It means, Aslan says, that though the witch knew the deep magic, there is a magic deeper still which she did not know. Her knowledge goes back only to the dawn of time. But if she could have looked a little further back into the stillness and the darkness before time dawned, she would have read there a different incantation. She would have known that when a willing victim who had committed no treachery was killed in a traitor's stead, the table would crack and death itself would start working backwards. Wow. So the battle between Aslan's army and that of hers rages on. Aslan's army is about half the size of the witch's army. And as far as they know, Aslan is not coming to help them. So they are on their own and quickly retreating. Peter is engaged in the fight for his life against the White Witch and is not doing so well. And we would expect Aslan, now that he's alive, to go directly back there to the fight and help out his army. But he doesn't run to their rescue immediately. Instead, he carries Susan and Lucy and runs to the White Witch's castle. And it is here that he does something amazing. First, he leaps over the wall with the girls on his back and lands in a courtyard of her castle. And then he went to every stone statue in that courtyard and then into the castle and breathed on each one. He breathed life into all of them again. And finally, at the last, they find Mr. Tumnus and he restores him too. Lucy and Mr. Tumnus immediately embrace each other. This is new life. Tumnus is restored. All the statues are restored. And in Christ, we are restored too. Ezekiel 36, 26. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Perhaps many of us right now are thinking, well, I've been a Christian all my life, far back as I can remember. I am already restored in Christ. And I agree. However, we also have to remember that all of us fall short of the glory of God. So could it be there are still parts of our hearts that are stone? Could it be there are still parts of our hearts that are stone? The parts that we know we should surrender to Jesus, but we do not. In fact, we will not surrender them. What might that look like for us? Well, I'm really glad you asked that question. Maybe some of us have been hurt so much by the circumstances of life that we just want to hold on to our pain. I know it. Jesus can restore me to wholeness. But it's my pain. It's my pain. It is so much part of who I am. And besides, I don't have to give it up if I don't want to. Sisters and brothers, the Spirit can help us with that if we simply ask Jesus to breathe on that part of our heart and make that part whole again. Maybe some of us have been so badly burned by someone, we steadfastly refuse to forgive. Nope, we will never in a million years forgive that someone. There's no chance on God's green earth that is going to happen. Yet the Spirit can help us with that if we simply ask Jesus to breathe on it and make us whole. How about this one? Maybe some of us have secret things that we think and do, and that we would be mortified if they ever came to light. Got news for you. You can't hide that stuff from God. I've got better news for you. The Spirit can help us with that if we simply ask Jesus to breathe on it and make us whole. Folks, I certainly do not know what parts of your hearts are still stone. I do know what some of the parts in me are that are still stone. So perhaps this week, as we ponder our New Year resolutions, perhaps we can include one of the things in our hearts that we keep for ourselves. And let's resolve to have some honest conversation with God about it. Then we can ask Jesus to breathe on it and restore us to wholeness. Will you join me in that this new year? It's not easy. Perhaps it's the most thing that we hold dear, even though we're ashamed of it and wouldn't want anybody to know. God can help us with that. C.S. Lewis is a remarkable theologian. For sure, he is perhaps my favorite. As we come to the conclusion of our sermon series, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. There are many, many more lessons from Narnia that we can discover. I encourage you to revisit the Chronicles of Narnia, or to embrace them for the first time to discover what truths you can find there. Oh, and one last thing. When Aslan has restored all the creatures that were turned to stone, he goes back to the raging battle and quickly dispatches of the evil White Witch, thereby turning the tide in favor of good. Aslan, the Lion and the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the Lion and the Lamb, he can restore us to wholeness if we only ask. To God be the glory. Amen.